we've all probably been new to something at some point in our lives. Maybe you've been the new kid on a sports team, or the new kid in a club, or maybe even to the most extreme, the new kid in town. And I think if you've had that experience, most of us will agree on one thing about it. It kind of sucks. I mean, even if you like meeting new people or you love trying new things, it's still uncomfortable. It's awkward. You don't know the rules, you don't know who you're going to hang out with, and you generally just don't have a clue on what's going on. And okay, maybe for me as an introvert, it's a little bit extra awful because it takes like 5 to 10 business years for me to warm up to someone. But still, no one likes it. And if you know me, or if you've heard my story, you might have heard me talk about being the new kid a few times in my life. Every single time, starting fresh, that's what my parents called it to try to make it seem less awful. Spoiler alert, it didn't work. I hated it every time. Every time, it kind of just sucked. And the worst time for me is when we moved my sophomore year of high school. And this time was particularly hard because I had spent years finally getting to the point where I felt like I wasn't new anymore. And that was gone. I had to start over. My life took a 180-degree turn in a moment. So when we moved, I made a decision. I decided that this time, I just didn't need friends. The reality was that making friends did not come easily to me. And so this time, I just wasn't even going to try. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth the pain of rejection, the uncomfortability of putting myself out there, and the continuous failure that I was just so sure was going to come. So that was that. I wouldn't have friends for the rest of high school. And maybe things would be different after I graduated or when I went to college, but for now, I was going to keep my head down. I was going to focus on my schoolwork, and I was just going to make it through. And I told myself that I was fine with it. And I wasn't really, but man, did I try. I ate lunch alone every day. I walked through the hallways and made eye contact with no one. And there were days where I would go to school and come home, and I hadn't said a single word all day. Imagine that for a second. For some of you, I think that might be much harder to imagine than for others. But imagine it. Going throughout your day, coming home, and you haven't said anything. Not because you didn't have anything to say, but because you didn't have anyone to say it to. It was hard. It was sad, and I was lonely, and little by little, I was becoming less and less of myself. But at least I wasn't being rejected again. I had gone through that too many times, and I refused to put myself through it again. And I have no idea how long I would have gone on with this plan. I don't know how long my mental health that was hanging by a thread would have lasted for if my English teacher didn't just completely ruin it for me. Because it's easy enough to not talk to anyone and to focus on your schoolwork until you have to work in a group for a project. So, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose. And when my teacher started to explain whatever poster board or diorama or whatever it was that we were supposed to work in a group for, I can tell you that it was probably literally the last thing that I wanted to do. Just for fun, I came up with a list of things that I would have rather done than work on a group. I would have rather worn a coat made of bees. It would have been a fashion statement. I would have rather swam in leech-infested waters. That's extra fun because I don't actually know how to swim. I'll learn someday. I would have rather jumped rope with a live snake. And the more I thought about that one, the more it actually sounded kind of metal, but that's not the point. You get the picture. I did not want to do this. But thankfully for me, the girl who sat in front of me immediately asked me to work with her. And at that moment, I had a thought. Maybe. Not maybe did I want to work with her. Of course I did. But maybe I wasn't going to have to be alone anymore. Maybe we'd have something in common. Maybe I wouldn't say something dumb. Maybe I could have a friend. And she was so nice. Before we started working, she started to ask me a bunch of get-to-know-you questions, and I was painfully shy, but she didn't have any problem in steering the conversation, so that was great. And I was starting to think that this could work out. But then, within probably 10 minutes of talking to this complete stranger, she hits me out of nowhere with, "So are you a Christian?" Which, you guys, I don't necessarily recommend coming on that strong like that. I understand it's important information, but keep in mind, I just met this girl. But it was okay. Like, I did consider myself a Christian. I mean, my parents were Christians, and I used to go to church, so sure, I said yes. But I wasn't expecting follow-up to this question. So when she asked me where I went to church, things got a little more awkward. About 100 thoughts went through my mind all at once, and I had to admit some pretty hard things to myself. I had to admit that not only had I not been to church in years, but also that I didn't really want to go back. I had to admit that I wasn't actually so sure what I believed, and so that maybe I wasn't actually that much of a Christian after all. But lucky for me, she didn't pick up on this internal existential crisis I was having, and I wasn't about to let her in on this because, you know, this was weird enough as is, so I just said that we hadn't found a church yet, and I thought, surely that'll be the end of that. No, it wasn't. Instead, the opposite happened. She got super excited. She was so excited because she said that meant that I could come to church with her at her youth group next Tuesday. Now, a little bit ago, I said that there was nothing I would have rather done less than work on a group for a project. Yeah, that was before this moment occurred. Now I knew that the actual last thing I wanted to do was go to church with this girl that I did not know. Not only did I not want to go, but also I didn't want to be the new kid all over again. But I had to let her down easy, right? I had to try to salvage this potential friendship that could occur if I played my cards right. So I gave her the excuse that we all give when we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. I said, "Maybe let me ask my mom," which we all know that means no, right? Well, she either somehow missed that memo in her life or she just did not care. And knowing her now, I know that she just did not care and was not about to take no for an answer. Because she followed up with me every day until that next Tuesday. And then when Tuesday rolled around, I had to come up with my next typical excuse. "Sorry, I just have too much homework." And just a little side note, I really miss using both of those excuses. But I think as an adult, if I said I had to ask my mom or that I had homework, people might get a little suspicious. So just hold on to those while you can. I thought this time she was going to take the hint. She was going to realize that I did not want to go to church with her and that she was going to drop it. But she didn't. She tried again and again, week after week after week, until finally, I knew that I had to make a decision. I was starting to get closer with her, and I knew I couldn't bail on her for forever. So either I had to suck it up and go to church with her at least one time, or I had to give up on the possibility of having a friend. And that second thing wasn't really an option at this point. I was in desperate need of a friend, and I was so close. So after months of putting it off, I said yes and went with her to church. She picked me up, and we went. And she organized the whole thing. She texted me after school, making sure I was going to be ready to go. She came and got me. She even bought me dinner. She made it as easy on me as possible. There was nothing for me to even think about. And from the second I walked into the building, it was easy to recognize that this was not like other churches I had been to in the past. Back when I was in high school, which was admittedly a long time ago, 10 years, but that's not what we're talking about right now, what is now 4640 used to be called Vertigo. And Vertigo used to meet back where the kindergarten through second grade kiddos meet now on Sundays. So I walked through those checkered hallways, and she started taking me around and introducing me to her friends and the pastors, and everyone was really warm and welcoming and kind and made me feel a little bit less uncomfortable. And then, instead of the cheesy icebreakers that I had played at churches before, you know, the ones like two truths and a lie, which are super fun when you're the only person who doesn't know everyone else in the room. No, instead of games like that, they played games that, while I had no interest in participating in them, they were super fun to watch. And then, instead of hymn books and pews, the worship had lights and instruments. And while I didn't know the words to any of the songs or what to do with my hands, it was still a cool thing to experience. And then when it came time for the message, I got ready to be sat down and talked at and made to feel like I was in trouble for something that I didn't even know I did wrong. But instead, the pastor was funny and interesting, and knowing us, I think they probably ate a bug or something like that, but it made me care. It made me want to listen. So long story short, it wasn't nearly as awful as I was expecting. Now, you guys, I wish I could say that that night was enough to change my mind about church and God and the whole thing, but it wasn't. I still wasn't so sure that I wanted to go back, and I still wasn't so sure about what I believed or what to think. But I'll tell you what that night did do. It opened the door back up. My friend who invited me did not stop pushing. She kept inviting me week after week until eventually I was coming more weeks than I wasn't. And every week that I went, I got a little bit closer to understanding. Every week that I went, I got a little bit more comfortable in worship. Every week that I went, I learned a little bit more about Jesus and who he was. And then, at some point, I got it. After months of coming, the pastor taught a message that I had heard so many times before about Jesus and who he was and about how he loved not only all of us, but me so much that he died for my sins. And that night, I prayed a prayer that I had prayed so many times before. But this time was different, because this time I meant it. I want you all to keep something in mind as you start to invite people to come to church with you. Sometimes that change, that understanding that we so desperately want to see in our friends, sometimes it doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it takes a little time, and that's okay. You don't have to take your friend all the way from point A to point Z in one night. You did your part. You brought them to church. The next step for you is to trust that Jesus is going to do his part. He's going to start working in them. He's going to start changing their hearts. You just keep bringing them back. Sometimes it just takes a little time. That's how it was for me. It took time, but once I got it, my life wasn't done being changed in that moment. I kept coming back until not only was I there every Tuesday night, but I found myself serving in the children's ministry on Sunday mornings. And then years after that, I was at a conference where I heard from the Lord so strongly that I was meant to work in ministry. And then years after that, I got hired to be part of the team here. And then years after that, well, here we are at this moment. And this moment, and all of the good, incredible moments that I have had here and with the Lord were because of one invitation. Because of one invitation, I got to go to Camp 4640 with you all and hear you listen to you worship so loudly that I couldn't even hear the band anymore. Because of one invitation, I got to sit in a room with elementary schoolers and listen as they heard from the Lord for the first time in some of their lives about who Jesus said that they were. Because of one invitation, I've been able to feel the presence and joy of the Lord stronger than I ever knew possible. That one invite paved the way for me to make friends that I never thought I was going to have again. It led to me meeting my husband and starting my family and having this job that I didn't even know I could have. These moments, and pretty much my entire life, were because someone saw me and thought that I was worth it. I was worth the potential rejection. My salvation, my eternal life, was worth more to them than one moment of their discomfort. I was a literal stranger, but they still saw me. They put themselves out there for my own good. We're all called by Jesus to do this. In Mark 16:15, the Bible says, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.'" If you're ever wondering what your purpose is, you found it. We're all meant to tell people about Jesus. And I get it. It's hard. It's uncomfy. We might feel like we are unqualified, or like we're not the best person for the job, or like someone else would just do it better. You know that's a lie, right? God calls us and equips us to do this. And sometimes he puts people in our lives for this purpose. But students, we hear you. We see you. We know how overwhelming the social pressure of that ask can be. No one here is pretending like it's easy. And no one here is trying to shame you for thinking that it's scary or for just not wanting to do it. So here at 4640, we do our best to help you with that. That's one of the reasons that we have all this cool stuff around. Of course, we want you guys to have fun on the giant bump and jump, and we want you to enjoy the free snacks, but we also want you to have cool things to tell your friends about. And a couple times a year, we host these big annual Bring Your Friend events. And coming up next week, we have our Make a Match Challenge. And in case you haven't been there for one of these, here's what it looks like. So every person who walks through the door automatically gets a chance to win these crazy cool prizes with tons of candy and treats and gift cards. And I don't mean to brag, but I get to help put them together every year. And they're actually awesome. And just to prove to you that I'm not lying, I have pictures. Well, that's me. It's like meception. Okay, next one. Yeah. Okay. So if you come, oh, Joe, if you come, you get one raffle ticket that goes into the drawing. So that's great. That means you've got a chance. So no matter what, do your best to show up next week because it is going to be a ton of fun and you do not want to miss out. But if you want to up those chances, you need to bring your friends with you. So for every new person that you bring, you get 5 extra tickets. And each of those friends, they also get 5 tickets. So just to make sure that we understand this, because it really does get a little confusing, we're gonna do some math together. I know, it's okay, you can do it. All right, let's say you bring, it's easy math, I promise. Let's say you bring 3 friends. How many tickets do you get? 15, you're so smart. And each of your friends individually get how many tickets? 5. Each of your friends individually get 5. And so all together, your friend group has how many chances of winning? 30. All right, since you did so great with that, one more math problem for you. Which is bigger, 30 or 1? 30. So definitely bring your friends with you. Once service starts, we're going to start drawing those tickets. And if your ticket gets drawn, you get to come up and you get a chance to make a match on our giant memory board. And then if you make the match, you win the prize. So you guys, this is the perfect opportunity to ask your friends to come with you. All you need to do is say that we're playing this super fun game, that there's really awesome prizes, that you need their help to win. And then tell them about all the cool stuff that we have around here. And then once you get them here, we will do the rest. We will teach them about Jesus. We'll tell them about how there's someone out there who loves them unconditionally and more than they could ever imagine. We want to make this as easy on you as possible. We want to make this easy because it's so important for you to get your friends here. On your way out, we'll have these flyers that you can hand out to your friends to help you invite them. So grab as many as you need. If you want to invite 10 people, that's great. Grab 10. But please, even if you cannot think of a single person right now, grab one. Grab one. Keep it with you in your backpack or your pocket or your car, because you never know who God is going to point out to you to invite. Man, he put me on the heart of a stranger. And I am so thankful that that stranger had the courage and the obedience to make that ask. I want you to really think about it for a second. Really give it some thought. I want you to think about your friend group, your teammates, the people in your classes, the people in your life that you know and love, the ones you care about. Aren't they worth it? Isn't one moment of your discomfort worth their eternal life? One moment for their eternity. And I know that might sound a little extreme, but I think you guys are old enough to understand that that's the truth of it. Because if you don't invite them, there is no guarantee that anyone else will either. Start with one person. Take a moment and close your eyes. Think about one person that you know who doesn't know Jesus, or who hasn't been to church in a really long time. This might be a close friend that you've had for years, and maybe you've even tried inviting them a bunch of times in the past, and they kept telling you no, so you gave up. Try again. You never know when it's going to be the last push that they need. Or maybe it's someone that you don't know as well. Maybe it's someone in one of your classes that you just started to talk to. Maybe you know just enough about them to know that with what they're going through in their lives right now, they could really use some Jesus. Ask God to show you who it is that you should be reaching out to this week. And then once you have that person in mind, start praying for them now. Pray that God begins to prepare their hearts, that he starts working on them before you even make the ask. Ask that he paves the way for you. And then ask God for wisdom. Ask him for the right words to say and for his perfect timing. Ask him for help. You're not in this alone. God is on your side. This is what he wants. So don't you think he wants to help you with it? He will guide you and he will be there for you every step of the way in it. He wants his kids to know him and he wants your help with that. Start with one person. God might end up bringing more to your heart, and I so hope that he does. But start with one. Let me pray a prayer of blessing over you. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the amazing gift that you gave us when you died on the cross to save us from our sins. Thank you that you love us enough to do that for us. And Jesus, thank you that you love our friends like that too. As we go forward in our weeks, be with us and point out the people that you want us to invite. Work in their hearts and prepare them. God, give us wisdom and bravery and the right words and the right timing. We love you so much. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the 4640 Student Center podcast. For more information on what's happening at 4640, you can check us out on social media or our website, 4640gj.com. Service times are Tuesday and Wednesday nights, and we hope to see you there.